Today's episode is made possible in part by our sponsors, including Salt and Light Eye Care. Thanks to New Mexico's faith-based boutique practice for expert vision care and advanced aesthetics and treatments. From eye exams to dry eye therapy, they help you see and shine with purpose. Dr. Mindy and her team go above and beyond. Plus, every visit helps support missions near and far. Learn more at saltandlighteyecare.com.
Welcome to Table Talks with Kay Woodward. Married for more than 43 years, Kay and her husband Galen have three married sons, nine grandchildren, and are longtime pastors in Albuquerque, New Mexico. With the recent release of her new cookbook, which is filled with treasured recipes and stories, she's excited to bring you into her world of faith and family. So, take a seat at the table with Kay as she welcomes special guests from varied backgrounds and stages of life to dive into relevant and important topics of today. Please enjoy today's episode.
Today's guest is extra special to me, not just because he's my son, but because of the way he and Delaney said yes to God's will. 4 years ago, they planted Union City Church in Washington, D.C., all while raising three kids, now with baby number four on the way. Their story is one of perseverance and miracle after miracle. And this conversation is about so much more than church planting. It's about faith, hope, and encouragement for anyone who needs it. Stay tuned. Well, welcome to Table Talks, Brandon. And this one is super special for me because this is my son, our youngest son. And once you're the baby, you're always the baby. And I'm so glad to see you, even on a Zoom call.
Hey, I feel the same. And this, I would probably argue this is probably your most favorite guest that you've had. So I'll take that. I also wanted to point out that I'm repping Alabama today for you. I thought if I'm on Table Talks, I've got to make sure people understand who we represent around here. So
I'm kind of concerned because there was a rainstorm last night and my Alabama flag in the front yard, it knocked it down. And I said, that's an omen.
A bad omen.
Bad juju. Yeah. I got to get that fixed.
We'll end the podcast in prayer.
This weekend, we're recording, but right before the third Saturday of October, and that's always Alabama, Tennessee. So it's a big game. And Anyway, we're Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
I mean, Dustin's pretty passionate too. Jonathan likes Alabama, but he's not so as passionate as us. But Brandon, I would say you take a loss the hardest with them, and you.
I've grown. I think when I was in college, a loss would stay with me for like days. And I just would be in like a depressed state. And now that I'm married and I have children, I think I have to act a little bit more like a man, and I'm a pastor. So I've grown a bit, but it does affect me, you know, when they lose. But I love football. I love the Lord. I love his church, but not in that order.
And I'll just add, if they lose, I pretend they win. So in my mind, I just pretend they win. I live in an alternate universe that Alabama always wins. And so do the Cowboys. So it's just another place I go. Yeah. And I rep my teams just like they win all the time. And because when I'm a fan, when I've got your back, I got your back, you know.
That's true.
Forever. Okay.
That's true.
Oh my gosh. Well, anyway, we're so excited. The cool thing is we were just there this weekend. We ran up for a pretty quick trip and got to be with you guys, you and Delaney and the kids, and go to church, which is a highlight for us to get to go to Union City. So we're just going to jump right in. And you guys have lived there now. It'll be 5 years in January, which
brain
mine. Archie was just 3 months old and moved. And that was a huge step, a huge calling, a huge new beginning. So for people that don't know about Union City Church in Washington, D.C., and I'm not sure how they cannot know if they've ever been around me or your brothers or your dad, but for people that aren't aware, give us the big picture of, for people who aren't familiar, describe this church, describe your church in a sentence or two. What's the heartbeat behind Union City Church?
Yeah. First and foremost, Mom, I'm really glad to be on here and big honor. I love your podcast. And I've been wanting to tell you, I'm very proud of you for doing this. People ask me all the time, they're like, what are your mom and dad doing in retirement? I'm like, they are not retired. I feel like they're running faster than they ever have, coaching pastors and traveling and doing this podcast. So I love you. I'm very proud of you for what you're doing. And I'm really proud of Dad and how you guys are running and just being a beautiful example for us. So, that being said, Union City Church is, how would I describe it briefly? It is a very young, vibrant, incredibly diverse community. And we meet right in the heart of DC. And I have to specify that because people ask me all the time. They're like, are you like in DC, DC? And I'm like, yeah, we're in DC, DC. And we have a chip on our shoulder because of it. And so when you live in DC and people that don't live in the district say they do, we don't like that very much. So you can pray for our pride that has been growing as a result. But yeah, when I say it's a young church, it is extremely young. And it's one of the main comments we get when people walk in, right? They're like, wow, this is young. Anybody over 40 feels very old. But I do want to celebrate that, more people are coming that are older, more families. We are getting more gray hair in the building, which is an answer to prayer, because we need their wisdom, right? We need their longevity of faith, the lessons that they've learned. And so, yeah, that's a brief overview of Union City at the moment.
That's so this just lead us right into this story, because you guys shared with us quite a few years ago that you wanted to plant a church, maybe 7 or 8 years ago. And I love when you tell the story. You say that you told Delaney before you guys got serious that you thought you might move away and plant a church, thinking, I never heard that. I never heard that. You did not tell your mom that before. I did not know that was in the cards, or I don't know what I would have done. But anyway, I'm thinking, you knew that all along. I thought this was like a drop in your spirit the day you told us. But you said you dreamed probably about planting a church, and I just would love to know that story. What was in your heart that made you want to plant a church? And then, glory be, how did you pick Washington, D.C. to plant this amazing church?
Well, it's funny you talk about me and you not having that conversation. I jokingly tell people, Mom, that you and I still have not talked about me moving, right? So I'm almost 5 years into moving and we still never talked about it. I think it was just a lot for your heart to take. Me and Delaney had a chat in 2010. I was sitting in my Tacoma outside her house. And yeah, before things got too serious, I was like, I think she needs to probably know that at some point I'll probably move from here, start a church. And I think that's something you want to make sure you have alignment on for marriage. So and just I thank God every day that she was not only in, but had the same kind of passion for it that I've had. And as you know, Mom, Delaney is just like the secret sauce. I mean, I tell people all the time, she's my secret weapon. And it's not even really a secret. Our church loves her. She's a dynamic preacher. And really, we have planted this thing together. I mean, we have been arm in arm. And I love talking about that because it started back in 2010 when we were 21-year-olds, already starting to kind of talk and dream about this even before we were engaged. We had that dream. I call it like a maybe a seed that was planted, but it remained dormant for a while, and which is good. I think you would agree that people in their early 20s don't have much business planting a church. Not to say that you can't, but I was not ready. And so we had the privilege of leading the young adults ministry at the church, at Citizen Church in Albuquerque, the youth ministry, and a wild privilege. I mean, we learned so much being able to do that. And then I think 2018, 2019 was like our exploratory season. We got to really think about what would it look like to plant. And I remember talking with Dad. I talked with Dustin. If you don't know our family well, that's my oldest brother and Delaney's parents. It kind of got the green light to, hey, yeah, we support this. Go ahead and look. And so the only things we knew was because we said yes to God. It was like, yeah, we'll plant. And then it was like, all right, Lord, where do you want us to go? And literally, we were like, wherever, we'll go anywhere. I joke sometimes that the only place I didn't want to go was somewhere else in New Mexico. I love Albuquerque. I struggle with the rest of the state. No offense if you're from the other places. But I was like, I will run like Jonah if God calls me to those places. But all we knew was we wanted to be in a city. And so in urban context, me and Delaney love cities. Like when we travel, anytime we were walking through, we could just imagine our lives lived like that. So we wanted to be in a city, and then we knew we wanted to be in a post-Christian city. So the suburbs and the Bible Belt were off limits as we began to search and pray. And so we were considering Boulder, Colorado, Portland, Seattle. We had a few other places like that on our mind. And then really the thing that got our sights set on DC was I was praying and journaling one day and I wrote down this phrase, four words, maximum need, maximum impact. And I don't think I knew what it meant the moment I wrote it, but as I prayed and reflected, it was like I felt that the Holy Spirit was telling us, okay, when you're looking for this city, it has to meet this criteria. There has to be great need for the gospel. And the maximum impact was that if this city was reached with the gospel and turned to Christ, then it would have an impact that could sweep across the region, the nation, around the world. And obviously, I think DC fits that bill maybe more than any other city. We joke all the time that DC is the opposite of Las Vegas, right? Because what happens here does not stay here. Whatever happens in DC, I mean, it goes across the nation, it goes around the world. And so that was exciting for us, that prospect of, okay, if we could see revival in the nation's capital, as we say a lot, one of our vision statements is that if you can turn the head of DC to Christ, you could turn the head of the nation. So anyway, that's kind of what got our sights set. We came and visited DC, I think in 2018, and I love the city, but I got to tell you, Mom, I was terrified the whole time I was here, because you're walking around, you're riding around in Ubers and Lyfts, and all the buildings are these like just massive hulking buildings. You feel like you're driving around Greece, and Athens and Rome, and everything felt so important. And as I'm having this moment while I'm there, feeling this weight, like, okay, I think this might be where we're supposed to be. I'm like accepting that, but I'm also terrified. And I'm like, Lord, you don't send people from Albuquerque to DC to start a church. Like, there's just no way that that works. And so we left that trip. And I always tell people, I feel like I was telling God yes, but very timidly. And then, kind of as you know, and I don't have to elongate the story anymore, but we received a prophetic word in 2019 that helped to confirm this. And it wasn't a private prophetic word. It was a prophetic word in front of almost 2,000 people. And I think that was God's way of holding us accountable, not only to church plant, but it was really specific about the call here to DC. So much so that people were walking up to me after that night, after that prophetic word, literally asking, like, are you guys planting a church in DC? And I'm like, I mean, apparently, yeah. Like, I guess that's the case. And I point to that moment where my timid yes became a confident yes. And it doesn't mean that we weren't afraid. I think I've done this entire thing afraid, moving out here and getting this thing started. But we've known that we've had the grace of God and the power and the strength of God behind us as we've tried to walk in what he's called us to. So, yeah.
It's been such a quite the journey to watch from our end too, to watch all the things unfold. And when it's your kids, and one day
Yeah.
you'll experience this when your kids grow older, you worry, you want everything to go perfect, and you just guys had to experience the journey on your own. So the biggest, so many leaps of faith you've had. But in those early days, we came out there quite often in the beginning, and we never saw you because you guys were out holding meetings, meeting people, strangers in strange places off of a metro. And I'm thinking, dear Lord, I mean, it was just it's a big thing. But what would you say
Yeah.
would be the biggest leap of faith for you and Delaney in those early days? What took the most faith?
I think for me, probably just the entire process of moving, right? Like, honestly, accepting this call, having the conversations with family, and then getting to that point where we would actually verbalize out of our mouth, like, we are going to plant a church in DC. It felt so weird coming out of our mouths the first time we said it. It was like, oh my gosh, it felt heavy. Moving was really difficult emotionally. And I think I cried more in those 2 months than maybe I have in the last 15 years. Honestly, I don't cry all that often. And it just gutted me. Saying goodbye to the youth ministry, saying goodbye to the college ministry, to family, to my church family of 31 years. Stability, childcare, free childcare at the church, and we're selling cars and we're draining our savings account. All of that felt honestly kind of insane. And I feel like every one of those things that we did was another step of faith, right? And we felt like Gideon putting fleeces out. And that was hard, honestly, Mom. The emotional toll there was immense. And then just the faith to take all of those steps. I think one of the biggest things, though, to point out was we planted in the middle of the pandemic. And so I remember praying as we were, building toward leaving. I was like, Lord, surely this is going to end at some point, and I kept thinking, like, yeah, we'll get there and we'll be out of the pandemic. And like, and we got to DC and it was still, I mean, social distancing, masks, places shut down. I tell people that we were wearing masks at our church And this is not moralizing, either way on this, but just we were wearing masks at our church till February of 2022. And we moved there in January of 2021. The ARC, the association of related churches that we planted through, their whole motto is you get to a city and then you just start meeting people, right? You put on events at a park, you do gatherings, you cast vision, big net, you pull people in. We couldn't do any of it. So to the point that you're making, we called it like our ground game. Like we just had to get gritty and scrappy, and we wouldn't meet anybody anywhere. We were sitting outside because you could not meet inside. It's February. I'm like shivering. My teeth are clacking together while I'm casting vision for this church. And just to watch God move through those conversations, the amount of people that in one conversation would be like, sure, I'll join this church that isn't even a church yet. And so I think all of that combined is were the biggest steps of faith. People may or may not know, we had 33 people that moved with us. And I always tell people that group of 33 had more faith than we did. And I can stand on that because me and Delaney had the vision. We felt like we had heard from God. That group had to trust that we actually heard from God, that we actually had a vision. And so they're selling their homes. They're moving to DC. Most of them sight unseen. Most of that group had never even been to DC. And mom, I remember sitting across from these guys going, are you sure you want to come? Like I was literally trying to convince them not to, because I'm like, this actually just seems insane. And I tell people often there's a fine line between faith and foolishness. And they were really flirting with that. But man, I'm grateful for them. I have such immense gratitude. And one of our church's core values is audacity. And we have value statements. And so we say, aim high. And we say this, we will not insult God with small thinking and safe living. And I think that this entire process and those 33 people have embodied that from the very beginning, right? Like we're not going to live safe. We're not going to think small, but we're going to step out. And in a pandemic, we're going to plant a church in the nation's capital, a bunch of people, a crew from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Well, honestly, like when I think about it, none of it makes sense. Honestly, none of it makes sense on paper. But that's just kind of been the name of the game, is that God's just been faithful and used people in ways that we just didn't even expect.
It's unbelievable. And you talked to us a moment about starting this in the pandemic. The first place you gathered was a place called the Showroom, which was beautiful. But I know people think, oh, well, it was a church, so you can do what you want. You can gather when you want. You can sit close together and do whatever you want. But that wasn't the case. You met in public spaces that were owned by a company that had to abide by the rules of Washington. It wasn't a church. You weren't in a church. So much so that there was one point during the pandemic where you couldn't even meet at all. And you had to find a church space in random other part of DC to have an afternoon service because they were shutting you down for a period of time. You had no choice when you're in a commercial public building in downtown DC. You had to live by every pandemic rule there was.
That was our posture. Like we didn't show up to like, let's fight the rules. And so we did our best to abide by what was happening in DC. And yeah, I think again, that's kind of just been the, early on, if people would ask me like what defines, Union City or at least this launch team that you guys had, I would just tell them like they're scrappy, honestly. Like whatever happens, we pivot, we move. And so we moved to New Bethany Baptist Church in the afternoons, and it was so terrible because it was like during all the kids' like nap times. So childcare was crazier than it's ever been. But the church, like we did it and we grew in that season. And then we went back to the showroom and just continued to grow. And I think now, mom, I think we've gathered for church in five different venues over the course of 4 years. And it's just been so cool to see the faithfulness of God in each of those spaces. But we love that we have permanence now, which has been an absolute gift.
That's so you started out across the street from Showroom. You had some meetings because we got to go to those, and then tell me about a Showroom. And then you went to New Bethany Baptist for a period of time in the afternoons, and then you went back to Showroom. And then Showroom kind of just, that was a it stopped because they.
We outgrew it, honestly. It was an interesting size space and the shape. And so we were sitting really wide. We outgrew that space and we're really, really needing something different. It was also really, really expensive. Like the venue rentals in the city, it's ungodly. And so had a conversation with Mark Batterson here in the city, who is a wonderful human, and their church has been so kind to us. And We signed a 6-month agreement to meet in the Miracle Theater, where we wound up staying for a year and a half. And the amount of emails I sent in to him and phone calls where I'm like, we are not trying to overstay our welcome. Please let us know if we need to leave, but we just can't find that next space yet. And that's really, Mom, like what catalyzed, which I know a lot of people would know the story about the church building we're in now. Maybe a lot of people don't, but that's what catalyzed us getting into this space was the Miracle Theater season. We called it Miracle Season, and we prayed and we cast vision to our church about, hey, we believe the Lord's going to provide, and this is kind of like our oasis in the wilderness until we get to the promised land. And never in my wildest dreams would I have thought that in September of 2023, when I'm telling our church, I'm like, I think we're going to get a building. Like, we're just going to believe big that God would actually come through. I know you didn't ask this, but I'll just give a quick story of kind of how this worked. When we were trying to leave the Miracle Theater to again not overstay our welcome, I was in contact with a high school, and we were very close to getting an agreement to have a lease with them, and it would have been a great space for us. Out of nowhere, the principal resigns, and we go meet with the interim principal, and within about 30 seconds, we knew like, okay, they don't have the same perspective on this church thing as the other principal did. And so we found out very quickly like this wasn't going to work. So I walk out of that meeting and I am like, I think I'm at one of my lowest moments, and I'm calling Dad, I'm calling Dustin, I'm like, guys, I don't even know what to do anymore. Like, we've outgrown the Miracle Theater, we've got to do something different. And a lot of people don't know this, it was 2 days later that I got the phone call from the realtor that said, hey, there's a building on 16th Street that's for sale for $5 million, which is way out of our price range. But he's like, I think you ought to come see it. He said, it's amazing. And so went and saw the building. And this is again the story we've told so many times, but we threw everything we had at it financially. We hit the ground running fundraising. Citizen Church invested in us in a massive way. That was the catalytic moment, was Citizen Church investing toward the building, and then just families and churches. I always joke, it's kind of like that moment in the Avengers when they're kind of outnumbered, and then all of a sudden the rest of them come show up, right? And you just felt like you had so much support, and you get to see the beauty of the Capital C Church. And so now I'm in my office in a 131-year-old cathedral style church building on 16th Street, a mile north of the White House. I mean, this is prominent kingdom ground. And it's just been a crazy journey to get here, but one that we're really, really grateful for.
I love the story. And when we visit, and people from our church go to DC all the time, and they always stay the weekend and visit. I would encourage anybody listening, if you're ever in DC, stay over a Sunday and go to this church. But just standing in the room, you can feel the miracle. Every time that we go, we feel the miracle. And knowing the story, it's so beautiful to watch. And so this journey to get a building, I mean, when you went to look at that building, you said you felt like you were going to this multi-million dollar mansion that you can't afford, like when you're in a small house, and
Exactly.
the realtor takes you somewhere that he shouldn't take you because you can't afford. And you felt that was happening. And then literally within 2 months, it was just coming together. Our family was on the phone with you almost 20 hours out of a
Every
20
day,
day,
every
every
day,
trying
every
to
day.
help this happen. And God is so good. So this which leads me to my next question. Boy, when we're in DC, Dad and I just look at each other and go, I don't know how they do this. I mean, it's a fast-paced, interesting place to live. I'm from the South and I'm friendly. I talk to everybody, and if people are so closed in there, they're like got AirPods in, they're closed in, and I'm like, hey, and trying to, what's trying to meet them all, and they're just looking at me like, who are you and where'd you come from? So DC is very unique, and it's carries. Like you mentioned, what happens in DC spreads all over the nation. So it carries a lot of influence. It's a very transient place. People move in and out. Unbelievable. The whole, of course, the elephant in the room, the politics of living there, because so many people work with whatever administration is in office at the time. And then the pressure of being in a place like DC, because people, they want perfection. They really do. I mean, I see people are excellent. So let's talk about that a little bit. We talk about the opportunities and challenges of living in such a unique city.
Yeah, it is unique, and I tell people a lot. I feel like the Lord has graced us to love it, honestly, and we really, really do love it here. And it's felt like home from really, really early on, which has been just I think a kindness of God and the grace of God. But I am a much more aggressive driver, a much more aggressive driver now. So I'm praying for that. But you kind of have to. I tell people, you eat or you will be eaten out here. So that's just kind of the journey. Yeah,
Your
I
dad
think,
did this real quick. Your dad pokes along out there. We go to get the kids from school, and it's just like driving on a the Indy 500. And your dad, and he's kind of poking at them. Galen, you got to
he's got to
drive.
join him.
You got to. I said they're not going to just be nice and let you in. You have to take over the highway.
No, nobody will let you over. So yeah,
No, they're not.
you have to force your way
No.
in.
Okay.
So yeah, I would say the traffic is the primary cross that we carry out here. But no, you were kind of mentioning just the nature of the city, the transience, the political atmosphere. I think I can touch on those two things. It's really, really transient. And so one thing that I didn't consider this, that when we got here, it was at the very beginning of the Biden administration. Like he had just been inaugurated. And so we built a church for 4 years in that framework of DC, right? A lot of the people working. And then the election comes, you have a new administration. So there's a lot of turnover and churn that we just were like expecting, but you just don't know what to expect. And then we've had, all kinds of things taking place over the last 6 months that it's just been the regular transience of the city has really like skyrocketed. And it's honestly kind of hard. The emotional toll of that is pretty intense. And I think what's difficult is like there's a huge percentage of our church based on the city that we're in that are government work, college students, military, immigrants on work or school visas. So it's weird because it's almost like you meet people and then you figure out, okay, they're a senior in college or they have 1 year left in their military, job here in DC. Or, their elected official is not going to run again the next time. So you meet people and there's almost this like ticking clock that's above their head that's counting down. And it's hard because and in a few ways, like practically to build a church, like you feel like, where is our stability going to come from, right? As people are in and out of this city so often. Pastorally, Mom, you realize that like you have a short amount of time with a lot of these people to try to disciple them and to build their spiritual formation. And so you feel that tension. Like we have to be very good at discipling because of how transient the city is. And then it's emotionally taxing. Delaney and I talk all the time about like as people leave, it's hard every time, right? And so the challenge for us is how do we stay continually soft toward people and continue to let people into our lives? We've said so many goodbyes really even over the last 6 months, and every single one of them, like you just feel like it rips your heart out. So we have these conversations at home. We're like, do we just like stop trying to get close to people? Because this is honestly getting to be really difficult emotionally. One of the things that we've determined is like it's actually kind of a gift when people leave and it hurts because it means that you built something special and something real. And so we want to try to keep our hearts soft and we want to try to, we never demonize departures. And then we do this thing now where we don't, people don't leave, when they're moving, we send them, So we're like, we're sending you out. Your seed to be scattered. We're going to pray over you and commission you. And, one of our goals is like that when somebody is sent out from Union City, that they go to that city, they get planted in a church right away. We're really passionate about helping them find churches. And then one of our goals is that the pastor of that church is like, man, this person just showed up and they have been like spiritually formed. They're generous. They're missionally minded. They're servant hearted. They're committed to building community. And I think that's a gift. So that transience is honestly kind of crazy and is a huge challenge. And then the political climate and pressures, yeah, you feel it. And, I tell people a lot of what our nation watches on the news, we're living here in real time and experiencing it here in real time. And so the emotional waves of the city kind of follow what's happening politically. And so you feel it, you sense it in the church, you have those conversations, you hear those conversations when you're out and about. Our goal is we want to, as a church and as believers, to try to transcend politics in a partisan spirit. And so at our church, we talk a lot about the idolatry of politics. We try to preach as often as we can about the kingdom of heaven. And I think one of the things that I've come to realize is that in order to not idolize politics and government and what all this can do for us, you have to have a framework of the kingdom of heaven, right? You have to be consumed by and concerned with something bigger than what you can just see here in DC and in politics, right? Jesus preached about the kingdom of heaven more than anything else in the Bible. And so if that's what he talked about the most, that's what we want to talk about the most. And so like we're just like working as hard as we can to help people frame their worldview, not from politics and a partisan spirit, but from the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. I have to see everything from that. Everything fits within the context of the kingdom and not the other way around. But then, we have to be careful, right? To like not get up on stage on Sundays and make people feel like what they do in government or in politics like doesn't matter. And so we often are telling people, hey, what you do here, like it matters. Voting matters. Everything we're doing in government matters. But all of it has to be done, and all of it has to submit to the authority of Christ and God's will for the kingdom of heaven. Like that has to be paramount. And so those pressures are real. Like you feel them. I don't know if when you and Dad are here, if you guys can sense kind of the political pressures and tensions. But they're very, very real. We sense it on a regular basis.
This episode is also brought to you in part by the DenCloud team at Coldwell Banker Legacy Real Estate. Jason and Bree bring unmatched experience and a personal touch to every home journey. Start today at homebuyingabq.com. Hey friends, I'm so glad you're here. If you're enjoying this episode, please take a second to subscribe, leave a quick review, and share it with a friend. It's the best way for people to find the podcast and to be encouraged. Now, back to the conversation. You do such a beautiful job, both you and Delaney, when you preach on Sundays too, of every time, I hear you tackle a difficult subject that you know is going to be polarizing. You're very careful to preach straight from the Word of God and try so hard to keep your own opinion out of it, because we all have opinions. We all have a way we bend, socially, politically, but you have been so careful to say, I'm going to preach what the Bible says, period. And I think that you can't do much with that except accept it if you're a Christian and say, I'm going to take that in and see how that applies to my life. And I feel like that's such a it's a picture of who your church is. It's a very diverse church. I would say on every level, culturally, politically, socially.
Definitely.
It's one of the most diverse churches I've ever been in, and I think I love that the most. I feel like the people there are my friends. I don't know if they think I'm their friends, but I feel like I'm going home. Also, it's my second home when I go visit. I actually love it, and I want to talk a little bit about the culture and values of your church because time goes by so fast. But your church, I tease everybody all the time because you mostly. I don't talk to Delaney as much, but she says vibe too. But everything we do, everything, whether what restaurant we go to as a family, what we do, decorating a house, going, what coffee shop, it's all about the vibe. Everything is a vibe, and I tease everybody all the time. I say, well, as Brandon would say, what's the vibe? The vibe, the vibe. But your
The vibes matter.
church definitely has a vibe, and it definitely has a feel. But I know your heart. And what do you hope people sense the moment they walk into Union City Church? Because you're dealing with a lot of pressure that a lot of us don't deal with.
No, I think and you're hitting the nail on the head, right? I think vibes matter. I'm such a like a weirdo. Like if I go into a restaurant and they don't have music playing and it's just like ultra quiet, like I'll go find, I do it kindly, but I'll find a manager and be like, we might need some music up in here because this is like you got an awkward vibe happening right now. So anyway, yeah, we're big on a vibe, and I think the bigger, broader sense of that is a culture of the space, right? And so we want to have a strong culture at our church. And really, a culture is not what you just want to be and aspire to be. A culture is like what are the actual beliefs and behaviors of a group of people. And so we talk about it a lot, right? And we want to have a strong culture. So what we aim to have, and I think what we do have, though I think there's room for it to grow, is a culture of joy. We want it to be a bright space. It's vibrant, it's joyful. To the point you were making a little while ago, and this is not true of everyone and it's not true of everywhere, but by and large, when you're tracking around the city, you go into a coffee shop, you're not warmly greeted in a lot of places. I sometimes get all the way to a counter and I'm just making eye contact with like a barista and they just don't say anything to me. And I'm like, may I please order coffee? Like, I don't know, you're not even greeted as you walk in. And so we talk about that a lot. We say, hey, we want Union City to be like a really different and unique space, unlike any other space people walk in the other 6 days of the week. They walk in here and they're like, this is remarkably different. Like, we want to be defiantly joyful. If people are not going to be have joy, we're going to have joy. And we've got to be a space where people's heads are lifted up to something bigger, to something better. And so that's a big thing that we really aim to do. We are an ex we're an expressive church, and we want to continue to be expressive in how we worship, how we lean in and respond to the word. I think laughter, I think verbal response when somebody's preaching, eye contact, people nodding their heads up and down. What it does is it creates a culture and an atmosphere around the sermon that if you're new to that space or you're not used to those things, you're like, why are they so interested in this? Like, why are they taking this so seriously? And I think it just develops a deeper hunger. And so, yeah, I think we have a beautiful community. We have great leaders that are the ones that help make all that happen, right? That's not me and Delaney. We cannot build a culture. It's the staff, it's our lead team, it's our coaches, captains. I mean, there are amazing people that are what promote a beautiful culture at our church.
And I think people truly are experiencing such life change, and the difference that this is my safe space. This is where I do feel joy. Like, I love that you said their head is lifted, because in the world of DC, no matter who you are and what year you're there and working, the heads can be down. Just so much going on. And I love that I love that. And it's a very expressive church. And I sit often by one of the young ladies in church. I love it because you're reading a scripture and she's reading it ahead of you. I love that they talk back
She
so.
knows where I'm going.
Like, I just want to yell out too. Like, come on now. But she, like, you're reading a scripture and she's already reading it out loud ahead of you loudly. And
I love
everybody.
it.
And they're shouting, and they don't need the three songs to get into worship. I tell people, on the first note of the first downbeat of the first song, they're worshiping. And I believe it is because it's different. It's so different than the life they live outside of church, that they're so happy to be there. And it's like, thank you, God, I have a place. And I think that leads me into, you guys have a liturgy that you've had from the moment Union City started. And I love this. And it never gets old. I mean, people. You guys read it. It's recited every single time, every service, every day. And I'd love for you just to spend a couple minutes on that. I think that it kind of sums up who y'all are, and then we're going to move on to a little bit about leadership before we start winding down.
So Union City Church, our name is intentional. We want to be a place that is unified in Christ, right? We're a church united in a world divided. And so we feel like we are in the epicenter of division, or at least the city that represents a lot of the division, right? And so again, like even down to like where our church is located, we are a bullseye dead center in DC. And we wanted to be from the very beginning because, you know, we want to be able to pull from all the quadrants of the city. We want every tribe, every nation, every tongue, the different political persuasions to be able to come in that space and unite under Christ, right? In the word and submitted to his truth. And so we had this idea early on that we were going to end every service with what we call our union liturgy. And I can even read some of it to you here in a second, but the idea behind it is that it comes from the words of Jesus. So when Jesus is with his disciples, that Last Supper, that final night, go back and look at it, especially in the Gospel of John, and notice how many times he talks about being unified. How many times he talks about how he says, "Me and the Father are one, and I want you to be one, you know, as we are." So he's calling them to great unity. And so we had this idea, like, let's just begin to make this a prayer and a covenantal commitment that we say every week as a church, so that our community can survive elections, so that our community can survive political division and racial division and socioeconomic division, that we transcend those things and we come into something better. And so we talk about, we say, "Lord, you've called us to be one. Grant me perspective to value your eternal kingdom." And I mean it when I say we talk about the kingdom all the time, over earthly things. "Give me the eyes to see all people not as enemies, but as image bearers." And I think you would agree. I think that we could probably do well as a society if we saw people as that is God's creation, right? That's not my enemy. That is a child of God, the creation of God. We talk about being granted humility to place greater value on people over personal perspectives. We say, "Give me the self-control to turn the other cheek and to know when to choose restraint." And then we say, "Lord, you've called us to be one. Let our distinctive unity and our love for one another be a beacon of hope to the world and a source of glory to your name." And that's our heart, right? I think what a skeptical and in a world right now that a lot of people don't want much to do with Christianity or Christians, what they need right now is they need to see a compelling Christian community, right? They need to see people that truly love each other. As Jesus said, they will know you're my disciples by how you love one another. And so we're just trying to pump that into our church. And I think it's worked well so far. It doesn't mean that we haven't had moments of division or dissension and disagreement, but I've been so proud of our church. I've been so proud of our leadership and how we have waded into things. But I think a lot of it comes back to this covenantal vow, essentially, that we say every single Sunday. So,
I think that's so for a visitor, a guest there, that they get so much about your church, the way you end the service. Because when one service, you can't, they can't know your whole personality of this church and who you really are. But that liturgy sums it up for people who've given you a one shot to decide if they're going to come there. And it's just, I love that ending that. And I love that over 4 years you guys have memorized it. I still have to read it, and I look and I see people just, it's in them, you know, part of their DNA now, which I really think that that's at first just saying it to believe it.
We didn't do it a few weeks back. So we had this like really overly packed service. We had baptisms. And so we didn't do it after first service. And the amount of people that came up to me and were like, "Where'd the liturgy go?" And so we literally, the second service, we like added back in. Like, we can't. So we learned that we cannot take the liturgy out of a service. It doesn't matter if we're going overtime, if there's already a line of people trying to come in, like we have to do it. And what I love that. Like, our church is like, we want to say this. We want to pray it. We want this to be our covenantal vow, you know, every single week. So it's been pretty cool.
Deal with a lot every day. They need to be reminded weekly that this is what we, this is really who I am. It's not what who I am Monday through Friday when I go into a job. It's who I am when I walk in here. And I think that reminds them of who they are. I'm going to shoot some rapid fire questions at you to close up because I have another card and I'm going to get to it. So we're going to do rapid fire. These are going to be quick answers, but
Fast. Sorry, I'll go fast.
no, it's great. I'd like to know quickly, what do you wish you had known before you started Planet of the
Oh
Church?
gosh. I think the way of senior leadership. And so, you know, you hear that sometimes. Hey, you don't understand what the senior leader as a pastor or maybe even of any organization holds until you're in that position. Mom, I have actually repented to Dustin and Dad, where I've been like, "Hey, look, sometimes I was verbally critical. Sometimes I was critical in my heart or my mind towards you. And it was unfair. Like, there were legitimately things that I was holding against you that I'm like, oh my gosh, I just didn't know." And so you can't know it till you're in it.
You
And
can't.
that might
Your
be one
brother
thing I
said the
would.
same thing. Dustin has told your dad, I hear him say it, Dad, I didn't know. I'm sorry. Because he's like, do this, you should do that. Or why don't we do this? And now Dustin's going, sorry, sorry, sorry. It's the same thing. So people that have shaped your leadership, examples of your leadership you're
I think honestly, a lot of it is family in nature. I mean, when people ask me that question, I immediately think of Dad. Dad is the greatest man I've ever known, and pastorally has just shaped me. Dad is a shepherd. Dad loves people. He has integrity. He's consistent, and a lot of what I do and how I try to pastor and lead comes from what he taught me, but also just what he lived and what I got to witness for a long time, both in pastoring and as a dad. I look at both of my brothers. I'm blessed to have two older brothers that I think the world of. Me and John grew up closer as like buddies, you know, sharing rooms, fighting over Xbox games. But he's always been a great influence. Dustin was more of like a role model. He was like, you know, 6 years older, and has been a great pastoral role model to me as well. I still call Dad and Dustin for ministry type stuff all the time. I mean, there's not a day that goes by. I've told people I think I'm closer to Dad now than I was when his office was next door to mine, just based on how much I've needed him. And then just I just want to share stuff with him. Like, I feel like something happens and I'm like, gotta call Dad, gotta let him know. And I know you've told me I gotta call you more. I know he relays some of it.
tell
So
him, turn it on speakerphone and you won't have to repeat the whole story to me. He walks off to the yard and starts pacing when you call. And I'm like, if you stay still and put it on speakerphone, I would not ask you to tell me every word Brandon
You
said.
guys need to get landlines so you can do what grandma and grandpa used to do, where they both would pick up the different landlines in different parts of the house. And that might be the solve, that every time I call, I just hit the
We're
landline.
definitely their age now.
Pastorally though, love John Tyson, John Mark Comer, Mark Sayers, guys like that have been really formative. And then two pastors in our city, or a few, Pastor Mark at National Community, Mark Batterson, Aaron Graham out here is a faithful man of God that's become a mentor of mine. And then Stuart McAlpine, who's been here for several decades. There is a brotherhood of pastors here that is unbelievably beautiful. And so I don't feel alone. Any big decision in this that needs to be made when the world's going upside down, it's like I've got family to call, and I've got pastors here to call, and it's been just a gift.
It's really cool to see that. And when you guys, when you had your dedication or grand opening of Union City at the 16th Street location, that these guys, so many of them came or sent a video, and I could tell they truly love you like a brother, a son, you know,
Yeah, they're a blessing. Absolute blessing.
So stepping back, 4 years in, you look back, you step back and look at what God has done. This is going to be hard, but what stands out?
Oh my gosh. Over the span of 4 years, I think I would probably say people and provision, honestly. I'm going to answer this in a weird way. I've been weirdly emotional during worship over the last 6 months. I think in kind of getting in this building, and the emotions come from two different areas. One is when I'm in worship, and maybe it's some of the choir Sundays where I'm like visibly seeing so many beautiful people that I love and I adore and I respect. The people that God has brought have just been an absolute gift. Like, I'm surrounded by amazing community, some of my favorite people I've met in my 36 years of life. We've met just the past couple of years. And so, like, I am brought to tears often on Sundays just looking around the room. And then the provision of God. Mom, right now, anytime we sing about God's faithfulness, like he shows up on time, that he's always been there, he's always been good. I honestly, like, I just, my tears well up, or I tears well up in my eyes. I get that, lump in my throat. And I just, God's been so faithful. It's like every time that we've been at this like crossroads of, oh my gosh, what's going to happen, or a dead end, God has just shown up in unbelievable ways. I wish he would show up earlier. He's right on time, as we say, never early, never late. And it's not always my timing, but God's been so faithful. And those are the things that I just think about. It's like where we are now. We, as a 4-year-old church, have no business being in the building that we're in, seeing what's taking place in the church. It's been an absolute gift. It's been amazing.
This past weekend when we were there, the last worship song was More Than Able, and you guys sang that also on the grand opening Sunday there. And I, every time, even when I'm in church here in Albuquerque, I cry when I hear that song. But when I'm standing in that building and we start singing that, and then they're singing Anything Is Possible, Anything Is Possible, like, I mean, I could have a lot of faith when I'm standing here because this was so not, should not have happened. It should not have been. So my faith really builds when I'm standing there and we're singing those worship songs, and I knew that I would not
Yeah,
get
I
to
mean,
find some words.
you're literally standing in a miracle. And it's the same thing for me, Mom. Like, I'm in there, I'm looking up at stained glass, I'm looking at this building. And I always try to tell people, like, the true miracle of Union City is not the building, it's the people that fill it on Sundays. But the building is also a big miracle. Like, we have a place, we have a home base, and it's kingdom ground. And it's like, so yeah, when we're singing that song, I'm like, I think I really mean this maybe for the first time now, that I believe literally anything is possible. Like, there's nothing God can't do. And I just want to keep that same perspective the next 30 years of doing ministry.
That keeps it, that song, and we do it here. Can you imagine? It says, "With all the faith in the room, what the Lord can do." I just, so that has to build people's faith for when they need to be. They have a decision to make: their job, their health, their going to marry. It's God answers all those prayers, just like He answered prayer to help Union City find a home. He does the same thing for people, which brings me to kind of a final thought, which. I know you guys are getting ready to have a Vision Sunday in a few weeks at your church, so this will come out after that Sunday. But you guys, I know that this was not the end all to get to the building. It was just the launching pad, the launching place. So, what are some dreams, initiatives? What's the next season for Union City?
No, it's a great question. I think one focal point right now is on prayer. We in the spring launched a prayer room that's Tuesday morning, 6:30 a.m. But we've got a vision for that to like grow and expand. We want to see multiple prayer rooms every day of the week, Monday through Friday. And so we're not launching that yet, but we're trying to stir up a hunger and a desire for that. We just keep feeling like I genuinely just feel like revival's coming. We're seeing the shakings, and even just some of what we're seeing in our church and in churches around the city, I'm like, Lord, it's coming. And I think we only can be prepared for a revival through prayer. So, like, we want to be a church that does not just talk about it, but we truly are about it. And so that's one big thing. We also are trying to grow our discipleship as the church is growing. So we say so many goodbyes, and then we have so many hellos. I'm in this disorienting season right now where, especially in our second service, I don't recognize anybody. I'm like, I don't know who you guys are. And so we're trying desperately right now to connect with people, to meet them, to build that community that we had at the very beginning, and then get people discipled, right? And we've got people are being so formed and deformed by the culture that we have this, we've got to do counterformation. And we've got to get people in strong community, get them with a biblical lens and worldview, and give people this compelling faith that can stand in the midst of a culture that we're in right now, these cultural pressures. And then what I also love is Delaney's heart for what we call community engagement and outreach. Our church is right now about to start to extend our reach nationally and even globally. We have some beautiful global partnerships that we're creating that are going to, I think, have a lot of impact on planting churches even overseas. And then, for us as a church plant, one of the things that we are really committed to is we are always going to partner and pray for and financially come alongside other pastors and church plants. And we hope to plant other churches out of Union City. But DC has a lot of needs. And so we're growing our outreach arm right here in the city. So really in our Vision Sunday, Mom, we're gonna be talking about so many local endeavors that we're gonna be starting, great organizations that we're gonna be coming alongside. And one of the biggest reasons that we want to do that is obviously there's a biblical command to love our neighbors and to offer charity and to help those that need help. But we say this a lot that we want people that are far from God or they don't like the church, maybe they don't even believe what we believe or they never believe what we believe. We want them to still have a respect for the church where they're like, look, I don't believe what y'all believe, but I respect you guys because I see what you guys do. You're not all talk, but you are the hands and feet. You get out there and you're actually making a difference in DC, which is so necessary because of the transient nature of this city. I say all the time, people treat it like renters and not like owners. There's not a lot of ownership. And so when people see the problems of our city, they're like, well, I'm not going to be here very long, so I don't really have to like engage that. I don't have to invest in that. And we're trying to challenge our church. I don't care if you're here 3 months for an internship, 3 years or 30 years, make this place home, invest. The problems of the city are your problems. And this is kind of what we're going to be trying to pull people in through our vision series is like, let's love this city, but we're called to it. We're called to make a difference. And we're really, really excited to get up in front of our church and hopefully cast a really compelling vision.
That's going to be a great weekend, and it's very exciting. There's so much need, and all of us can relate to that. I've spoken so often on these podcasts with different episodes with nonprofits that we can't do everything, but we can do something, and we're called to our something. And I've just decided I refuse to think that's the only thing I like. If I only can do this much, that's not going to make a difference. But everything we do makes a difference, and it has ripple effect. Generosity and kindness all has a ripple effect. So I think that you'll see your church. Well, it's already growing so much. Two full services, and another thing I know is on your radar is the third service. You have so much of growing church and so many things. So one last question. Someone I know there are lots of people that listen, and some may be in ministry or be pastors, and a lot of them will just be business leaders or students. A lot of college and young adult students get to listen to this or watch. And for someone wanting to start something new, or they feel like they're at a crossroad, maybe let's take that direction. They're at a crossroad, they're trying to decide what is the next step for me, God? Because you guys, step of faith is a huge thing, but you also had the you knew that God was telling, you felt like God had spoken it. So the step of faith, although it was hard, it was also easy because you knew you were doing God's will. So a lot of people ask, how do I see? How do I know what's next? How do I make the step?
I think if you have a calling, right, and a calling or a vocation can be, it can be ministry based, or it can be something that, like I happen to think everything's ministry, right? If you're a Christian and you're doing things for the kingdom, whatever you do, do it unto the glory of God, do it for the sake of others. That's kingdom work. So whatever that calling or vocation is, I would tell people that a calling does not necessarily come with all of the clarity. So we had to go with very few details other than go to DC. Didn't know where the church was going to be, didn't know where the finances were going to come from, how we're going to build a team, when COVID would end. So we had very few details. And I think that there can be a problem sometimes when people are trying to, okay, I think God's calling me to start something, to do something. But they're like, I need to iron out all the details. I need to make sure that I have the business plan fully mapped out. And plans are great. We had a plan, but we did not have all the clarity, honestly, that I would have liked to have had. So the peace I had in my heart to go was not that, oh, I think everything's like going to be fine. The peace was like, I don't know if everything's going to be fine, but I feel like God's in it. So that was the peace that I had. And if you remember the Sunday that I preached about planting the church, I preached from Acts 20, and I called the sermon, God Made Me Do It. And I talked about Paul when he's leaving the Ephesian church elders and leaders, and it's this emotional goodbye. And he's like, I'm heading to Jerusalem, which was the exact worst place for him to go. He's like, prison, hardship, difficulty. What did Paul say? All I know is that I'm compelled by the Spirit, which means I'm wrapped up and I feel like I'm being taken that way. And I have clarity of my call. He said, this, my eyes are fixed on this, and this is what I want to know. And so if you have a calling, if you have this tug toward a vocation, but you don't have all the clarity, you can still do it, and you can do it scared. That's exactly how we did it coming out here. You can do it without the details, but get wisdom, pray about it, and step out in faith. And if our story is any comfort of God can do miracles, God can do the unexpected, and I am we are it's not perfect by any means, but we are living in the midst of a miracle, and I just have all the faith in the world that if he can do it for me, if he can do it for us, he can absolutely do it for you.
That's a beautiful way to end this podcast. I've loved every moment of this. Honestly, we don't get to have, we I don't know the last time we had a 1 hour conversation. So this is really
In
just
a
so
minute.
loved. I same thing when I got to talk to Delaney last year on leadership. I felt the same way. I'm like, oh great, this is awesome. I get to sit with
Let's
my
do it again next week. We'll just keep it going.
child for an hour. Just to close up, would you mind? I always feel like I like to close in prayer when possible because so many people listening and watching, and they hear this and they're stirred in their heart. But just to kind of seal this with prayer, since you mentioned that so beautifully, and then we'll wind this up.
Okay, awesome. Let's pray then. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for just a beautiful moment in conversation. And just for my mom and the vision for this podcast, continue to bless her, these conversations. I pray that they would get to the right ears and the right hearts, people that just need to be encouraged. And so continue to use it for everyone listening right now, whether they are at the gym or they're driving in their car, at home, maybe cleaning, whatever they might be doing. Lord, I just pray that you would meet them here, right here in this moment, and let it be a holy moment. That a dream that might be in their heart that they've put off or they've doubted that you can do it, that it would come back alive and that they would be reminded that you are still the God of the impossible and that this can and will be a miracle season for them, Lord. And so give us the confidence to step out when we have a calling, even when we don't have clarity. And for other pastors or church planters or prospective church planters listening, Lord, I just pray favor. I pray just so much blessing over them and a confident courage like Paul to say, I don't know what's in front of me other than I just know that the Lord is in this. And give us that confidence, Lord. Go before us, be with us. You are the God that is all around us. And we trust you. And we just ask for more miracles, more grace, and more of your kindness and provision in our lives. We pray this in your name, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Brandon, thank you. It was great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I love you. Thank you for letting me be on today.
Thank you for joining me today on Table Talks. For more content and information about upcoming episodes, please visit my website at kaywoodward.com. You can also explore other podcast links and resources there. Until next time.